It's 6 o'clock here on WMBR Cambridge, and you are listening to Esferio, the local voice of our hemisphere. Yo soy Froilán, and I'm joined in the studio today by my co-host Kendra Johnson.
Hi.
Y Amy Batiste, así.
Hola.
Well, we got an hour of news, discussion, music, and more lineup for you, all featuring an interview with a Colombian organizing leader.
That's right, the second half of what we did last week.
True, just a continuing interview, and more on Colombian current events.
Pues, first though, we'd like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT.
And since we are the local voice of our hemisphere, we hope you'll take the opportunity to contact us if you have a question, comment, or story to share. You can call us during the show here, 617-253-8810. Si quieren hablar con nosotros o compartir algo con nuestra audiencia, con tan solo nosotros, nos pueden llamar aquí en el estudio a 617-253-8810. Or you can email us in English, Spanish, Portuguese, or even French at sferio@wmbr.org. Y también nos pueden escribir a nuestro correo sferio, sphereo, @wmbr.org. And of course, before we'd like to begin, I'd like to send a special hello to any of those listening from Mexico, otras partes del mundo, and online, of course, at wmbr.org, and those who are listening through the Sferio archives located at web.mit.edu/hemisphere.
So, y ahora entonces vamos a empezar. Vamos a hablar vamos de a noticias, ¿no?
Bueno, para empezar con unas poquitas noticias locales. To start off with some local news, the Global Warming Solutions Act, a piece of legislation asking for 80% reduction of CO2 emissions and of carbon emissions below 1990 by 2050 and 20% reduction by 2020 passed in the Senate yesterday. So
that's a Massachusetts level act, and it's not
only a state level, requiring
that reduction.
Yes. Well, I just wanted. This is a pretty good accomplishment for those students involved in making this happen, and for example, some of my friends in MICA and other schools. And
MICA is Massachusetts Youth Climate Action.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And well,
so there's been a lot of youth activism involved in trying to push this through the Senate.
Definitely, it has been quite a bit of organizing, calling, and you know this is a good step, and in the direction we need to go. Only a step, but we need to do it.
And now it's off to the House of Representatives, where I think it's reported it will be slightly more challenging to get it passed through. So
yeah, there was quite a bit of opposition, but still the bill was intact on the resolution of the percent of reduction, which some people were asking, were saying that 80% is too much or something like that. So, but it was intact. That language was intact.
And do you guys think that it's going to remain intact as it goes through its next hurdles, or will it get watered down a lot, do you think?
We hope so.
No, we hope it doesn't get watered down.
You hope it doesn't get watered
right.
down.
We hope it gets through intact, the first part of your question.
Para decirlo un poco en español, el Global Warming Solutions Act es un pedazo de ley, una propuesta de ley que pide al gobierno de Massachusetts que imponga un 80% de reducciones de dióxido de carbono de los niveles de 1990 para el año 2050 y un 20% de esas reducciones para el 2020, o sea que es en dos pasos, primero un 20% después 80%. Ha pasado en el Senado de Massachusetts, en el Massachusetts Senate. Pues esto es un logro para la gente que ha estado involucrada en hacer que esto pase, sobre todo alumnos, estudiantes de diferentes universidades locales y pues, no sé, como se dice, el youth movement. Hay los chamacos, los muchachos que han estado involucrados en esto. Un saludo.
El movimiento estudiantil, ¿no?
Movimiento estudiantil acerca de, pues, de climate action, de algo, hacer algo para prevenir lo peor. Queremos decir gracias a la gente que se involucró y pues también gracias incluso a los miembros del Senate que apoyaron esto y que lo apoyaron fuertemente incluso. And I didn't say that in English, I believe. So thanks to the members in the Senate that followed through with what the people were asking from them. And this is, well, we're going to be talking about more news from Colombia today. And I'm just going to start with a little recollection of what has happened. As many of you might know, Colombia and, well, this southern part of this continent has been in a little bit of a turmoil since past weekend, starting with Saturday when... ¿Lo digo en español o en inglés?
En los dos.
En los dos. Sí, somos un programa bilingüe, hombre.
Pero yo, ¿en español?
Sí.
Bueno, en español, para empezar. El sábado, como tal vez ya muchos de ustedes saben, Colombia, o las Fuerzas Armadas colombianas entraron y bombardearon territorio ecuatoriano con la finalidad de atacar una base de las Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, de la FARC, y bueno, mataron a más de 20 personas estos ataques colombianos en territorio ecuatoriano, entre ellos a Raúl Reyes, el segundo en mando de las fuerzas de la FARC, y entre otras cosas se dice que los Estados Unidos otorgaron inteligencia a las Fuerzas Armadas de Colombia para con la localización de este líder a través de su teléfono satelital. En este programa, pues, nos trataremos más a fondo sobre esta noticia, como ya lo hemos dicho.
Mm-hmm. So just to bring you up to date in English, that we're going to focus on Colombia today in Sperio. We have another segment of the interview we conducted with an activist named Diana Gomez. And then we're, of course, going to be talking about the recent news in Colombia. So sort of, as you all have probably heard, it was on Saturday that Colombia attacked a... base in Ecuadorian territory. It was a base of the FARC, the revolutionary forces within Colombia, and that attack killed over 20 people. And there have been accusations that the intelligence for that came from the United States. And of course, the target within that attack was Raúl Reyes, who was the sort of second in command in the FARC forces. So we're going to sort of speak about different sides of this issue and how it's growing and how different countries are reacting. So to start off with that, on Monday, Ecuador and Venezuela broke diplomatic ties with Colombia, and both of those neighboring countries of Colombia have started moving troops to that border. And of course, the United States, Bush has publicly defended the actions of Colombia. And, of course, Colombia is a close ally of the United States, so that might not be too much of a surprise. And we have Colombian President Alvaro Uribe, who is starting to make accusations against Hugo Chavez for supporting, supposedly, the FARC forces. And then, of course, Chavez has turned around and called Colombia the Israel of Latin America for carrying out an assassination strike in a foreign country.
And perhaps for having so much support from the U.S.
From the United States. There actually are a few parallels there that, you know, no matter what political side you're on, you could agree that there are some parallels between these situations. Entonces, en español, que vamos a hablar sobre esta situación en Colombia y cómo están reaccionando los demás países. Y el lunes, Ecuador y Venezuela rompieron las relaciones diplomáticas con Colombia y también los dos países vecinos de Colombia han mandado soldados a sus fronteras con Colombia. También
no
vemos...
No solamente soldados,
tanques,
las fuerzas armadas, sí, aéreas también, parece...
Sí, nomás desplegaron tropas
sí,
ahí, en la frontera.
Uh-huh. Oye, estamos hablando también de quién ha rompido relaciones diplomáticas. Parece que Nicaragua también
acaba de romper
con Colombia.
Con Colombia.
¿No? We should add Nicaragua to the list of countries that have broken off ties with Colombia now.
Pero la reacción de los Estados Unidos es que Bush ha anunciado públicamente que él apoya a los ataques de Colombia. Y hemos visto ahora aumentando las acusaciones entre Uribe, el presidente de Colombia, y Chávez de Venezuela. Uribe dice que Hugo Chávez está apoyando a los fuerzas revolucionarios, y este Chávez acusa a Colombia de ser el Israel de América Latina por perpetrar asesinatos en territorio extranjero y, como dice Amy, por recibir tanto apoyo de los Estados Unidos.
Sí, pues de hecho son el segundo país con más apoyo financiero después de Israel en el mundo. Colombia es el número dos. O sea que es mucha diferencia lo que recibe Israel y Colombia, pero aún así es mucho dinero.
As Ferland says, Colombia is the second, the country in the world that receives the second highest amount of military aid from the United States. And although Israel is a lot more than Colombia, it's still extremely significant what Colombia is receiving.
And I think Egypt is a close third. They're kind of all together there. Creo que Egipto viene como parte de ese grupo de tres, ¿no?
Strategic world locations. And now we have a little bit more on that story from Amy, as to the reactions of some other countries in Latin America.
Yes, we do indeed.
Or maybe
go ahead, Amy.
Maybe Roy wants to fill us in.
Okay, I can continue. The OAS, the Organization of American States, approve a resolution accusing the Colombian government of violating the Ecuadorian sovereignty, although that resolution didn't go as far as condemning the attacks of Colombia. That killed, you know, 24, it says 24 or just something around that of FARC, of supposedly FARC members.
Estamos hablando de esta resolución, pues, de la Organización de Estados Americanos, ¿no? Que ellos dijeron básicamente de que que me estoy tratando de traducirlo aquí, perdón, que no pusieron a que no condenaron a Colombia directamente, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Sino que dijeron básicamente de que fue una violación del país, de la soberanía de Ecuador, pero no que ellos echaron la culpa para los muertos, que es interesante esa diferencia, ¿no?
Sí.
Yo creo que también vale la pena mencionar aquí de que esa organización surgió de los Estados Unidos también.
La Organización, ¿no?, de Estados Americanos.
Ajá. Uh-huh. Eso
pero
fue
por lo menos sí dijeron oficialmente que era una, ¿cómo se llama?, violación de los derechos del país de Ecuador. Eso, por lo menos, es algo.
Pero eso es obvio.
Eso tenían que
hacer. Sí, eso
hacer.
Es obvio. Vaya, tiene que hacer.
Si un país llega y empieza a matarme en tu país mismo.
Nomás, si imaginamos qué es lo que haría Estados Unidos si México bombardea a la frontera sur de Texas. Creo que
sí. Les tocaría. Unos narcotraficantes ahí en Texas.
Sí, y los matan. O sea, eso no sería para nada bien visto en los medios de comunicación americanos ni para el gobierno americano.
Sí, exacto. Mm-hmm.
Pero lo que dice, we have a quote here from the defense secretary of Robert Gates. We were just saying that if an attack like this happened in the United States, Mexico takes out some counter Mexican forces that are in Texas and just bombs them and shoots them down, that wouldn't be well seen by the United States. We wouldn't receive that well.
It wouldn't go over too well.
But of course, when Colombia does that in Ecuador, our defense secretary, Robert Gates, says, well, I would just say that we are very supportive of President Uribe's efforts to deal with the FARC terrorists. We have a very good relationship with them.
Yeah, that's subtle, isn't it?
There we go.
Bueno, simplemente diría que apoyamos los esfuerzos del presidente Uribe para tratar con los terroristas de la FARC. Qué manera de tratar con ellos, ¿eh?
Sí.
Wow, man.
Bueno, entonces pasamos a la entrevista, la continuación. Ah, sí, con música antes.
Sí,
y después la entrevista.
No, porque después de toda esa cosa un poco pesada tenemos que
relajar, distraer, divertir.
Poner, ¿quién mejor que el grupo Nietzsche? Right? If you're going to talk about Colombia, you should put Colombian salsa on. So let's do that for a little bit, then we'll come back. We will finish up the interview that we began last week with Diana Gomez,
Colombian activist
for the rights of the disappeared and victims of the paramilitary and crimes committed by the state. So call us if you want to call us, 617-253-8810. Ahí vamos.
No soy el que dicen que soy, yo tengo un corazón que me da vida.
Aparentemente, duro por fuera y por dentro una sandía. Aparentemente, duro por fuera y por dentro una sandía.
Mamá, no puedo con ella.
Es que no puedo, no puedo con ella.
Y es que no puedo con ella.
Es que no puedo, no puedo con ella.
Mamá, y no, mamá, y no, mamá, y no.
Es que no puedo, no puedo con ella.
Y es que no puedo con ella.
Es que no puedo, no puedo con ella.
Subiendo San Juan arriba.
And you're listening to Sverio, the local voice of our hemisphere here on WMBR Cambridge. Today we're talking about Colombia, and we're going to expand our conversation a little bit now to some greater issues, including Plan Colombia and the proposed free trade agreement coming from the U.S. legislator that Bush is urging. So we're going to pass now to the remaining minutes of the interview with Diana Gomez, who is an activist in Colombia working on women's rights and also recently became part of the movement of children, of victims, against for justice and against impunity. And we're going to hear her perspective, her idea, thoughts about Plan Colombia and the free trade agreement. Y ahora vamos a escuchar lo que queda de la entrevista que pasamos la otra semana con Diana Gómez, que es una activista de Colombia. Ella está involucrada en movimientos para derechos de mujeres y también como se murió su padre por culpa de un ataque, fue asesinado. Ella se metió también en el movimiento de hijos e hijas por la justicia y contra la impunidad en Colombia. Así con su entrevista vamos a expandir un poco nuestra discusión de Colombia y hablar de los efectos de Plan Colombia y del Tratado de Libre Comercio que está proponiendo los Estados Unidos y Bush ahorita.
En Colombia y no para tratar de solucionarla.
Entonces, en su opinión, ¿qué es el efecto que tiene el Plan Colombia en el país?
Para nosotros el Plan Colombia profundiza la guerra. Es más inversión en guerra, no le da salida al problema del conflicto, no permite avances en la concreción de la paz. Consideramos que el dinero está mal destinado porque el poco dinero que se invierte en lo social es en programas que no son estructurales, que no solucionan el problema que quieren solucionar, que en este caso sería la droga, el cultivo de droga. Son programas que han afectado a la población civil. Hay estudios que dan cuenta de problemas de salud de esta población y que no se soluciona el problema de la droga, se sigue cultivando droga y se sigue negociando droga. Creo que allí también hace falta otro tipo de orientación en la política de Estados Unidos frente a la droga.
Sí. So, in your opinion, what is the effect that Plan Colombia has on the country of Colombia?
Well, for us, Plan Colombia prolongs the war. More investment in the war doesn't lead to solutions for the conflict. It doesn't allow for advancing the peace process. We feel that in general, it's money that is poorly spent, considering that what little money it does allow to be invested in social programs are not very structural. They don't solve the problems that they're designed to solve, which in this case is drugs, the cultivation of drugs. These are problems that have affected the civilian population. There are studies that show health problems in this population, and those problems aren't changing. And it doesn't solve the drug problem. They keep growing drugs. They keep selling drugs. So it's also necessary for there to be some kind of shift in the U.S. drug policy, too.
Y no estamos aprendiendo del ejemplo de Colombia porque las políticas de los Estados Unidos con México, por ejemplo, seguimos siguiendo el modelo de Colombia, de Plan Colombia, hasta unos la llaman las políticas como Plan México, que estamos haciendo lo mismo, invirtiendo en el lado de armas y de controlar drogas a través de más violencia. Y hemos visto que no funciona.
And, of course, we're not learning from what's happening in Colombia either, because we see that in U.S. foreign policy towards Mexico, we're doing the same thing, and they're even calling it Plan Mexico now, that we're investing in arms sales and controlling drugs through more violence, and we've seen that this doesn't work.
Sí, definitivamente no creemos que ese sea el modelo. Incluso hay personas en Colombia que plantean la legalización de la droga, no como un problema de Colombia y de Estados Unidos solamente, sino del mundo entero. Y es, pues uno se pregunta si hay otro uso de sustancias psicoactivas o incluido el trago que son legalizadas, porque la droga no se legaliza. Nosotros creemos que también detrás hay un discurso un poco de doble moral y que en el fondo también está un problema económico, es negocio al fin y al cabo.
Yes, definitely. We don't believe this is a functional model. In fact, there are people in Colombia now who suggest that drugs should be legalized, that it's not just a problem in Colombia or in the U.S., but worldwide. So then you have to ask yourself, if the use of other psychotropic substances is considered fine, including alcohol, which is legal, then why not legalize drugs? We believe that there is, at some level, a double standard going on, and that at the heart of it, it's really an economic issue. It's business in the end.
Sí, es negocio todo. Y hablando de negocio, ¿qué opina usted de un tratado de libre comercio que están ahorita discutiendo aquí en los Estados Unidos? Abrir como hacer un tratado de libre comercio entre los Estados Unidos y Colombia.
And of course, it's all about business. And speaking of business, what do you think about the free trade agreement that they're discussing right now here in the United States, about trying to set up a free trade agreement between the United States and Colombia?
Bueno, el Tratado de Libre Comercio consideramos se hace en condiciones de desigualdad para la competencia. Estados Unidos tiene una economía mucho más estructurada, más fuerte, fortalecida. Colombia no. Es un tratado que le da ventajas a Estados Unidos y que produce serias desventajas en Colombia. Profundiza los niveles de desigualdad social, de concentración de la riqueza. Colombia tiene un nivel muy alto de concentración de la riqueza. Es el tercer país más pobre de América Latina, no porque no haya dinero, sino porque está muy concentrado. Pero además hay algo preocupante para quienes trabajamos en derechos humanos, y es que hay un nexo entre desplazamiento, acción de los paramilitares y multinacionales. Y sabemos que multinacionales como Coca-Cola, La Drummond, Chiquita Brands y Nestlé financiaban a los grupos paramilitares. Y también sabemos que hay coincidencias entre el despojo de la tierra para los campesinos y proyectos de agrocombustibles.
Well, we feel that the free trade agreement is being negotiated with an inherent inequality for the competition. U.S. has a much more structured economy than Colombia does, and it's stronger. It's an agreement that would produce a lot of advantage for the U.S. and disadvantage for Colombia. It would deepen the divide between the divides between the rich and the poor in Colombia. Colombia today has really deep divides between rich and poor. It's the third poorest country in Latin America today, not because there's no money, but because it's highly concentrated in the hands of a few. So there's something really worrisome, too, for those of us who work in human rights, and that is this nexus that exists between the multinationals and foreign aid. We know that the multinationals like Coca-Cola, Drummond, the Chiquita brand, and Nestlé are financing the paramilitary groups. And we know that there are connections between things like the destruction of peasants' land and the production of biofuels.
Ahora está en debate en Colombia la entrega de un predio a desplazados que se llama Carimagua, que el ministro de Agricultura quería entregárselo a empresas privadas, a multinacionales, para el cultivo de la palma. Y allí seguimos viendo los nexos que existen entre un proyecto de multinacionales y la consolidación del paramilitarismo en el país.
Right now there's a debate happening around the turnover of a parcel of land to a group of internally displaced people. It's called Carimagua. The Ministry of Agriculture wanted to hand it over to private business, to multinationals, for palm cultivation. So there we can see the links, these connections that exist between a project of the multinationals and the consolidation of the strength of the paramilitaries throughout the country.
¿Y por qué será que los multinacionales apoyan a los paramilitares? ¿Por qué?
So why is it that the multinationals support the paramilitary forces?
Porque los paramilitares les dan seguridad, pero además hay coincidencias entre los proyectos económicos hegemónicos que tienen unos y otros. Y lastimosamente uno no lo entiende, pero la clase política colombiana no le interesa feriar los intereses de la nación porque reciben su tajada económica y no les importa perjudicar a la mayoría de colombianos e incluso despojar a Colombia de las riquezas naturales que tienen, que son tan importantes y significativas en cualquier economía. Mm-hmm.
Because they give them a certain security. But also, the two groups do coincide a lot in their economic and hegemonic projects. And unfortunately, we don't understand it, but the Colombian political class isn't interested in the needs of the nation. And they don't care if they're hurting the majority of Colombians with what they do, even if they are raping the country of its natural resources, which are so important to any country's economy.
Y bueno, Si la solución no es un tratado de libre comercio, ¿qué puede hacer el país de los Estados Unidos o también nosotros como americanos? ¿Qué podemos hacer para siquiera no empeorar la situación en Colombia o si hay algo productivo que podríamos hacer?
So if the solution is not a free trade agreement, what do you think the United States can do as a country or we as American citizens to at least not make the situation worse in Colombia, or is there even something productive that we could do?
En un mundo globalizado, creo que no se trata de rechazar los acuerdos comerciales. Creo que son supremamente importantes los acuerdos entre distintos países, pero tienen que ser acuerdos que no sean desventajosos para una de las partes. Creo que debe existir una cooperación entre iguales, entre Colombia y Estados Unidos, y entre Colombia y otros países del mundo. Pero creo que la ciudadanía norteamericana sí tiene la tarea de evitar que se firme el Tratado de Libre Comercio tal como está pensado, tal como está estructurado. E incluso es muy disidente que los demócratas se opongan a esto y que exista ahora tanto afán del presidente actual norteamericano de dejarlo firmado antes de las nuevas elecciones. Creo que allí hay un papel muy importante de la gente. Creo que hay algo que es de felicitar en Norteamérica.
In a globalized world, I don't think it's possible to reject all international commercial treaties. I really think you have to have agreements. But they need to be agreements that aren't inherently disadvantageous for one side. I think there should be cooperation between equals, between Colombia and the U.S., and between Colombia and other countries of the world. But I think that the U.S. citizenship certainly does have a task in front of it to prevent the signing of the free trade agreement with Colombia as it's currently thought out, as it's structured right now. And also, it would be decent of the Democrats to oppose it. And now that there's so much enthusiasm around the president signing the agreements now, before the elections, I think there that that is an important role for people to play.
Y otros países del mundo. Pero creo que la ciudadanía norteamericana sí tiene la tarea de evitar que se firme el Tratado de Libre Comercio tal como está pensado, tal como está estructurado. E incluso es muy distante que los demócratas se opongan a esto y que exista ahora tanto afán del presidente actual norteamericano de dejarlo firmado antes de las nuevas elecciones. Creo que allí hay un papel muy importante de la gente. Creo que hay algo que es de felicitar en Norteamérica y es que existe cierta conexión entre quienes eligen y quienes son elegidos. Y esa conexión creo que hay que usarla, que hay que usarla para hacerle ver a quienes fueron elegidos, a los senadores, que la ciudad, que los norteamericanos no están de acuerdo con ese tratado.
I think that if there's something you can celebrate in the United States, it would be that there is a connection between those who get elected and those who do the electing. And I think that you have to use that connection. You have to use it to show your elected officials, the senators, that Americans aren't on board with this agreement as it is written.
Creo que sí es algo importante, tal vez, enfatizar, porque nosotros como americanos sí sentimos que no tenemos poder, que los políticos, pues, también que las compañías grandes, multinacionales, tienen mucho más impacto con las políticas que nosotros. Pero pienso que es importante decir que aunque es verdad que también juegan su rol, tal vez muy importante, que nosotros también tenemos nuestros votos, tenemos el derecho de expresar nuestras opiniones y que en otros países del mundo no tienen la misma oportunidad y sí nos da un poder, aunque sentimos que es un poco, pero entre muchos sí podemos cambiar los políticos.
And I think that's something worth emphasizing because we as Americans tend to feel that we don't have any power, that it's the multinational companies, big corporations that have much more of an impact on the country's policies than we do. But I think it's important to remind people that we do have a role. Although it's true they have a lot of power, that we too have a vote, we have the right to express our opinions, and that in other countries of the world, people don't have this kind of opportunity. And that does give us some kind of power, even we might not feel like it's very much. And that if many of us act together, we can change politicians.
Sí, eso es cierto. Creo que si algo falta en Colombia es interiorizar que somos ciudadanos y que tenemos derechos y que lo que hace el Estado no son regalos, sino obligaciones que tienen. Creo que eso es importante interiorizarlo en Colombia.
Yes, that's true, and I think that if there's anything that we need to internalize in Colombian thought, it's that we are indeed citizens and that we have rights, and that what the state gives us are not rights, but obligations towards us. I think it's important that we learn to believe that here. I think it's important that we learn to believe that here in Colombia.
Bueno, muchas gracias, Diana Gómez, por hablar con nosotros aquí en Esferio. ¿Tiene alguna última idea que quiere compartir?
Thank you very much, Diana Gómez, for talking to us here on Esferio. Is there any last idea that you'd like to add?
Sí, hay algo muy importante y es que el próximo 6 de marzo quizás el programa salga al aire luego, pero no importa, es necesario visibilizarlo. Hay una marcha en Colombia y a nivel internacional en homenaje a las víctimas del paramilitarismo y de los crímenes de Estado, porque estos existen en Colombia y queremos hacer visible esa otra parte de la realidad colombiana. Además de los secuestros y de la actuación de la guerrilla, también existe otra violencia que ha dejado muchísimas más víctimas y que a veces parecen víctimas invisibilizadas, parecen víctimas de menos valor. Pero creo que en Colombia todos quienes hemos sufrido la violencia tenemos derecho a que nos rindan un homenaje y a que nuestras voces tengan valor y sean escuchadas.
Yes, there's something really important coming up on March 6th. Maybe your program is not going to go on the air in time, but it doesn't matter. It'll still be important to raise awareness about this. There will be a national march to honor the victims of paramilitarism and state-sponsored crimes. because this exists in Colombia and we want this other part of Colombian reality to be visible, in addition to the kidnappings and the actions of the guerrilla, there's this other violence that has left many more victims, and they've been hidden victims. Sometimes they've even been considered less important victims. But I think that in Colombia, all of us who have suffered violence have the right to be remembered, that our voices be valued and listened to.
Indeed. I think we're going to very shortly take a musical break, but I wanted to mention that we're going to be sort of following up on these issues that Diana raised in her comments about Colombia. And also that I'll announce this again at the end of the program, but that the MIT Western Hemisphere Project, which is the student organization that originally gave birth to Sferio so many years ago, is hosting an event this weekend at MIT. It's on Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m., and it's all about free trade agreements, especially focusing on the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, this FPP sort of super NAFTA package that is being organized right now. So discussion of that starting at 2 p.m. And then at 4 p.m. there's going to be discussion about Plan Colombia and the Colombian Trade Promotion Agreement, as that free trade deal is called. So that's 2 to 5 p.m. at MIT, Building 34, Room 101. And I'll be announcing that again at the end of the program for those of you who don't have pens and pencils out right now to write everything down.
Very good. And, of course, you know, in that interview with Diana Gomez, she was making reference to a march that she was saying will be happening. And needless to say, that just happened. So we'll be talking about that again as soon as we just take a little musical break with Fruco y sus tesos. Qué nombre más chido. A la memoria del muerto. Ya me estoy mexicanizando con eso. All right. This is Fruco y sus tesos.
No quiero que me hablen de pena ni sentimiento. Yo quiero vivir mi vida alegre, feliz, contento. El día que yo me muera, no quiero llanto ni rezo. Pregúntenle a Jaime Ayala, que es ahora el vivo o muerto. Que traigan mucho aguardiente y todos bailen contentos. Con Francisco, Messi, Fabio, séptimo y
selling fish hooks anymore. You are the free swimming fish.
Bulibwaji.
Namaste.
Tune into music for human beings.
New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you.
Think that you're gliding out from the face of a cliff like an eagle? Think you're walking like a tiger walks by himself in the forest. You're most handsome when you're after food. Spend less time with nightingales and peacocks. One's just a voice, the other's just a color.
Friday, 7 p.m., WMBR in Cambridge, 88.1 FM.
And that'll be coming up shortly after we finish here with your voice of the hemisferio. I'm Amy, and we are continuing with our show of much noticias, a whole lot of news for you. We were just listening before the Colombian music interlude to the last part of an interview that we began last week with Diana Gomez, activist from Colombia who is involved in the struggle for human rights, specifically involved in the memory and the justice struggle for those who have been victims of the paramilitary as well as state-sponsored crimes. And one of the things that she was in town to tell us about was this march that took place just yesterday. And there were 40,000 people marching in Bogota alone to honor thousands of victims of the right-wing paramilitaries and the death squads, of course. And there were many other marches held in other parts of Colombia in solidarity. Y déjame decirlo en español también, ¿no? Que hemos estado hablando con Diana Gómez acerca de su participación en el Movimiento para los Derechos Humanos Colombianos y sobre todo para los víctimas de los paramilitares y los escuadrones de la muerte. Y ayer hubo una gran manifestación de como 4,000 personas en Bogotá, no, 40, nada más. 40,000, perdón, ¿qué dije yo?
Cuarenta,
vaya. Y eso en Bogotá nada más, ¿no? Habían otras manifestaciones en solidaridad. De hecho, aquí en Boston hubo una también en el Park Street, creo que se reunieron. They also marched here in Boston in solidarity and all over Colombia, too. Y es importante saber que la gente sigue llevando eso a
la memoria.
A la memoria y a la atención pública, ¿no? It's something that we need to kind of keep bringing to the public eye.
Yeah, and it was interesting at the event when Diana Gomez spoke here, a woman from Colombia expressed a lot of hope that this is sort of the first time in a long time that big demonstrations like this have been able to take place and people are starting to actually speak about the tragedies that have happened in their families,
something
and how
like a catharsis, or
right?
Something.
And the involvement of the government, as well as the paramilitaries, as well as the FARC forces, that all three of them are responsible for a lot of the violence and suffering of women and families in Colombia, and that there's at least starting to be discussion of that where there hadn't been for a really long time, that people had to keep it all within.
Right.
So there's a little bit of progress there. We just wanted to put in there a little reference with this free trade deal. This is a quote from Bush about this agreement with Colombia, which of course Diana Gomez expressed her opinion that it is founded on an unequal footing between Colombia and the United States and that will not benefit the people of Colombia. But Bush says that if we fail to approve this agreement, we will let down our close ally, we will damage our credibility in the region, and we will embolden the demagogues in our hemisphere. una cita del señor presidente Bush de los Estados Unidos acerca del Tratado de Libre Comercio con Colombia. Si no aprobamos este acuerdo, defraudaremos a nuestro aliado cercano, dañaremos nuestra credibilidad en la región y alcentraremos a los demagogos en nuestro hemisferio. ¿Quiénes son?
A ver, ¿Quién será?
¿Quién será? Pues nos queda bien poco tiempo, pero pienso que es una situación muy interesante y más complicada de lo que hemos hablado ahorita entre Chávez y Uribe. Como Uribe es el amigo cercano de los Estados Unidos y como Chávez está...
Un crítico vocífero de los Estados Unidos.
Alguito.
Y también que acaba de tener éxito en negociaciones con el FARC y dejaron salir no sé cuántos,
como creo que 4,
unos que fueron capturados por los FARC.
4 rehenes.
Y Uribe su política es que no entra en negociaciones con el FARC y por eso solamente intentan mandar soldados para rescatar, como rescue.
Sí, rescatar rehenes que tienen la FARC.
Pero la gente de Colombia está en contra de eso, de no hablar, solamente mandar más soldados, porque así no sobreviven mucho, muchos de los que están capturados. Pero en cambio, Ecuador y Chávez en Venezuela están intentando negociar con el FARC. Y por eso también está más complicada la situación.
Sí.
Y para ponerlo más complicado todavía, vamos a hablar de México.
Espérate, vamos a volver a hablar un ratito de eso en inglés, ¿no?
Sí,
porque
no lo dieron.
I was just saying that the situation is a lot more complicated than we have been explaining and than we even have time to speak about today, because of course it goes back to the history and the relationship with Uribe being a real champion of the United States, ally of the United States and their policies in the region, and then of course Venezuela right next door, who is promoting a different vision of what should be happening in the hemisphere, and that Uribe's policy is to not negotiate with the revolutionary forces, with the FARC. And so anyone who is taken prisoner or hostage with the FARC, they only sometimes try to send troops and
rescue
people, but in a violent way with fighting. Whereas Chavez was actually able to arrange for the release of some of the prisoners through negotiations, which is something that Uribe hasn't been able to do. And it was also sort of a blow to him that now Chavez was able to do this. And so we sort of saw this news emerge about the attack in Ecuador and the successful assassination of the second in command of the FARC, kind of on the heels of that. And so, of course, to make the situation more complicated, we're going to talk about the connections with Mexico.
Just to, like Kendra said, just to connect it with Mexico, the Latin American Association of Human Rights has declared that there were five Mexican students and professors from the UNAM, the Mexican Autonomous University, that were in the FARC, that were in the FARC campament or close to it, and that were hurt by these attacks. One of the survivors, one of them, a survivor, Lucia Moret, said that the other four members of the Human Rights Association doesn't have the knowledge of where are these other four Mexican students and professors. Either they might have been they might be in the jungle hiding, or they might be between the among the dead, which of course is another hit to diplomatic ties in other countries. Para decirlo en español, cinco mexicanos estaban en la base de la FARC que fue atacada en Ecuador por el gobierno colombiano. Entre ellas, la mexicana Lucía Moret, que sobrevivió, cuenta que estaban otros 4 de sus compañeros, de nombre Soren Áviles, Fernando Franco Delgado, Juan González y Verónica Velázquez. No se sabe el paradero de esta gente, tal vez se encuentran perdidos en la selva o están entre los cadáveres que de los 24 cadáveres. Lo cual pues podría ser otro ataque, otro golpe a la diplomacia entre México, entre los países latinoamericanos y Colombia.
Yeah, and we don't have much time at all. We wanted to get some announcements in, but just the last connection we wanted to make is we were talking about Uribe's accusation that Chavez is financially sending money and supporting the FARC. And Freilán shared with us the fact that it's actually narco-trafficking groups in Mexico that provide a lot of funds to the FARC. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, I was reading some other piece that there is connection between the narco trafficking groups in Mexico and the financial support that the FARC receives, something around, well, I don't know the exact number, but a significant percent of the financial support that the FARC receives is let's say financed by the sales of drugs in Mexico, and the drug trafficking from Mexico to the U.S. made by Mexico narco traffickers.
Yeah, made the connection right all the way up to through Mexico to the United States. And now we have a few announcements.
All right, and know what that means. It's time.
Announcement music.
For the announcement music.
So I guess I'll just start off by reminding people that this event on Sunday is from 2 to 5 p.m. here at MIT in building 34101. And that is going to be about free trade failures in the hemisphere. Amy?
That is true. And before that, even, we can't forget that it will be International Women's Day tomorrow. And you can actually celebrate International Women's Day here in the Boston area by attending some of the films that are being shown around the region, around the Boston area. Tonight, actually, at 7 p.m., shortly, the Grace Lee Project will be shown at Pearl Street's Gallery 263. Conveniently located at 263 Pearl Street in Cambridge. That's in Central Square. Tomorrow, on the actual day itself of Women's Day, there will be free shorts by women filmmakers happening at the Boston Public Library. That would be downtown Boston at Copley Square. Those are all free. And additional films and more information about them can be found at www.usahostels.org. The Hosteling International USA branch is actually sponsoring those events. ¿Qué más?
Yo no tengo nada más.
Ah, bueno, pues yo tengo un montón de cosas, así que voy a seguir. Si quieren ver películas, como estaba diciendo yo en inglés, hay un festival de las películas de la mujer internacional, y eso están empezando, la verdad que empezaron ayer, pero van a pasar esta noche también en Cambridge, aquí en el Central Square de Cambridge. Hay una que empieza luego a las 7 y se llama The Grace Lee Project, y se puede ver todas las otras películas que están ofreciendo, algunas que son gratis, y son todas aquí en Boston o en Cambridge. Si van a la página web USA Hosteles, USAHOSTELS.org, y tiene información acerca de eso. There's also films happening at the Belmont World Film Festival, which is probably a little far away for some of you, but maybe not. This is something they do every year at Belmont Studio Cinema, 376 Trapello Road in Belmont. And their shows actually go all the way through to April 13th, and the first one will be on March 9th. It is a Turkish and German film called The Edge of Heaven. You can find out more information about those things at belmontworldfilm.org. And lastly, we got one more thing, which is that there is a talk on freedom of expression and freedom of dissent happening Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. As part of the ACLU's Revolutionary Ideals Modern Debate Series. And I don't even know where that's being held here. I'm looking it up. Oh, at the Old South Meeting House, 310 Washington Street, Boston, Mass. Y parece que Froilán, tú tienes una cosa más.
Un último sí, anuncio. Sí, sí. One last event announcement. The film series 2008 on here at MIT is presenting the Syrian Bride, which is a it's a movie about, well, it doesn't matter.
Well, it's good.
Well, because we don't have much time. It's celebrating International Women's Day. It's also here a lecture presented by the MIT Center for International Studies. Tomorrow, March 8th at 5:30 in 6120, you can look for more details on probably in the MIT webpage and look for the events on Saturday.
Yeah, indeed. And
fíjense
this,
que si, Ay, perdón, Kenia. Que si necesitan alguna información más acerca de eso, deberían de llamarnos o mandarnos